Generation X. Man, if it just wasn't on YouTube, man, that irritates me.
Well, you probably have YouTube with ads and stuff, right?
Yeah. Like the nine part series. Like, gosh, like, dude, seriously, I would pay money just
download it somewhere.
Let me buy it.
Is it
on
not
digital
on Amazon
somewhere?
Prime?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's not on anything.
You know what is on Amazon
Prime?
Yeah.
Gotta get a DVD
for him the other day. The Wiz.
Breaking Two.
The Wheels.
Yes, I saw that, dude. Me and Lily were looking at that.
I was on social
media. Oh, nice, man.
Yeah, like $3.99. I was on social media, and somebody, they cut a clip of the subway scene, and I was just like, dude, that entire movie was nightmare fuel for a three-year-old, bro. Like, I needed therapy.
100%, man.
So yeah. Hold up, if I remember correctly,
it took me until I was like 12 or 13 to like revisit it.
What were you saying, Brad?
That's funny.
Today's the day I become a man.
No, I was just saying, dude, I totally forgot about that. I don't think I've ever watched The Wiz since I was a kid. I watched it over at Justin and Stephanie's house with Karen, and I think it was Karen that was over, right? It wasn't you, so. Kenny, was it? Yeah, it was Karen and Mark and Terrence, okay. And Steph. And I think they were either watching it or they were just singing it. I can't remember, but I remember you guys talking about it in the chat, and I'm like, "Dag, I haven't seen Wiz forever." But what you
down.
Just
you gotta sit down and watch that, and then just be like, "This explains so much. This
explains all that, all those nightmares I had. Those walls caved in, right?
The walls, mm-hmm. Yeah."
That's what I remember.
Like the pillars, yeah. The pillars started moving and like coming in.
Well, it was the little kid. It was, man, and I'm still like, clearly I'm traumatized because I remember like where I was at. And I would just remember when the munchkins started peeling off the walls. I was just, man, as a kid, I was just like, what is happening?
Wait. Okay, I am super interested now.
You must watch this. Like for one, it does have some excellent music in it. It is well choreographed and well danced. It is. So there's this era of American cinema, I think like late 60s, 70s, where everything was just bonkers, mm-hmm. And everybody was apparently on drugs when they were filming stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely like the armpit of cinema.
It's gritty.
That era or that movie? Not the movie. Just the era.
The movie too, but
so we latch onto it because of culture.
That's a good funk.
It's a good funk. I was thinking Cats, that new release like a couple years ago. That would probably go back in that time.
I never saw it either.
When did the original Cats come out though? Because maybe that's probably around the same time. Original Cats
armpit funk
films. Oh no, Cats, it was a Broadway play, right? Funk. So when was the original Broadway production? Yeah. Cats the musical, originally published 1981. Exactly, dude. Man, yep.
Okay, yep. Yeah. I mean,
everybody was
pretty
snorting
much,
something. Apparently, at that time.
Snorts.
Guys, we are talking
Andrew Lloyd
jobs
Webber.
Today. You are. Am I hosting, by the way, or I just kind of dove right in there? I apologize. Somebody else want to host? Okay.
Nope, all good.
Hey, this is Genic Reverb. You are. Not on the air. Let's start that over again. Man, this is what happens when we're missing something.
With Ken Bill.
Yeah, with Smooth B. Now, with
Kentavious Coldwell.
Oh, man.
Booth.
Hey, you are listening to Gen X Reverb, just a cast of cousins talking about Gen X culture and our memories and kind of how that translates to today. I'm your host this week. I'm Ken, joined by cousins Bradley and Mark. What's up, guys?
What's up?
I think in terms of time and for posterity, we probably need to mention today is Saturday, October 26th. Ukraine was just invaded by Russia. We're not talking about any of that today because if you have any questions, just go to JW.org. But honestly, we're not talking about any of that. We're just looking for a distraction, looking to entertain today. And so a topic that came up a while ago was jobs. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to just talk about our first jobs and what that was like, especially compared to now.
For sure.
Because you know, I feel like job culture is a little bit different now. You know, if you've Big heard time. Of the, have you heard of the no work movement?
Yes.
I want to be a part of it. I have not heard of it, but I am subscribing right after this.
Maybe it's called the anti-work movement, but basically it's just this group of people. It's like this growing group of people that are they're tired of terrible jobs. They're tired of basically legal slavery, I guess is kind of how a lot of them view it. So it's confused for the I don't want to work, but it's people who are saying I want to do what I want to do. And so I think that's what actually got me thinking about jobs because, you know, they talk about like minimum wage and stuff like that. And so I was just like, man, you know, it would be tough to try to, like, I can't imagine now, you know, trying to take care of a family, having to work for minimum wage. It's tough, you know? And then so, but then I was like, you know, but as a kid, did you really think about wages and stuff like that? But anyway, so I figured we'd kind of cover off some of that while hopefully being entertaining. But Mark, it's weird. I think I remember some of Brad's previous jobs, and I definitely remember Justin talking about some of them. I got to be honest. Did you work? Are you a bum? Are you a bum? Man,
no, I'm playing. Did I work? Man, I was out picking fruit and everything else. Migrant worker in my teenage years. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no. What was your first job?
For sure, man. So I was actually a full-time cart wrangler at Safeway.
Oh, man. Okay, maybe I do remember that. Like, I think, like, did you take vacation or something when we came into town or something like that? Okay,
so I might have, yeah.
Were you fighting homeless people for carts, basically?
Yeah, you know, not so much of that because it's mostly staving off heat stroke for the most part, you know, wrangling those carts outside. But that was actually a pretty cool job. I think that one of the interesting things about working in a grocery store is just watching what people are buying. Like, there would be so many items that people would buy that were never in our house. And it wasn't like it was like, you know, a wealthy or poor thing. It was more like just different cultures. Okay. You're like, huh, okay. Like, yeah. So, yeah, I actually enjoyed the job quite a bit, actually.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Little people watching. Like what were some of the interesting things you saw being purchased?
For example, I remember there was a family that were buying a cactus, like the is it the nopales? Mm-hmm. Like the flat.
Yeah, the flat
cactus.
Yeah, leaves fruit, or whatever. You cut it in the strips or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I would see them in the desert, and I would see the prickly pears that you can pick off of them, but not really the leaves, for example. So, like, stuff like that. So I would be hanging out in the produce section during my shift and just, like, kind of looking at stuff. So it was actually kind of eye-opening if you just take advantage of it, I guess.
And that was your very first job. Like, did you have to walk to work?
Or I did. Yeah. Okay. I walked to work. It wasn't very far. It was like maybe 7-minute walk, something like that. So like no major road. So, I mean, it was really like the best of options for me.
And then you were how old?
16.
Brad, what about you? What was your very first job?
My very first job was at a summertime school in Tempe, somewhere over in Tempe, where me and Justin just did various jobs for the two maintenance dudes. One of them was Michael Carbajal's father-in-law. And so, we got to hear a lot about.
So like Handyman kind of thing, like Handyman.
Handyman stuff? Picked this up, not really doing anything. Looking back, I mean, I was 15. We weren't of fully legal age to work, but looking back, I could see those guys were just being nice to us. It was a summer program. And I still remember the school vividly, and I remember what both of them looked like. And I vividly remember this song, a country song called Queen of Hearts. So they were they were two Mexican-American men who listened to country music. So that was eye-opening, speaking of eye-opening. It's like, what? And okay, all right, go for it. And so I just remember the smell of the cleaner. It was good memories. So that was my official first job, but then
so you weren't doing like boiler maintenance with those guys or anything.
Definitely not doing that, but just kind of staving off boredom all day long, just kind of waiting for the
cool, yeah. Terrence actually did that same program. I assume he was at one of the high schools doing that.
Okay,
I think for one of his first jobs.
Yeah,
gotcha.
And I
was this for Wayward Youth? Were you caught robbing a bank or something?
That's what it felt like. It felt like, hey, this was for the minority boys of Phoenix.
There you go. The program. Oh, that's good. Keep you off the streets.
Keep these guys off the street. Keep them on the straight and narrow. I do vividly remember, and I don't mind saying this on the air because we all make mistakes. Me and Justin would put our hands into the soda machine. And at the bottom where it comes out, and we would we figured out, dude, you could yank sodas out of there. And looking back, I'm like, man, that nasty high fructose corn syrup.
Wait, like you were lapping it up in your hand, like you were.
We were yanking. Cup hands? We were yanking 12-ounce cans of soda out of the soda machine.
Okay, I thought you meant like the fountain. Like you were just like, you know, it was the fountain of youth, and you just
got, that sounds like a Simpsons episode. Homer looking up,
dude, soda. Like you're like panning for gold, like handfuls.
So you're just snagging sodas, huh?
And actually, as I sit here this moment thinking about it, I'm like, dude, that's straight theft. And then now I actually look back and I'm like, wait up. I took some of the fireballs and the now and laters and the gum and the Twizzlers out of this one teacher's room.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Shelf, man. She'll never miss
Shame
it.
Shame on me.
Dude.
Dang.
But I want to say real quick.
You heard it here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, straight up theft, man.
Hey, man. No, it happens.
Real quick. I remember seeing you wrangle carts, Mark, and also BJ, one of our foremost listeners, not the most foremost listener, right? He worked there too.
Yeah. He's the one that got me that job, actually.
Is he really?
Okay. Yeah.
Shout out to the beach.
Old job, Gator.
Yeah, he sure did.
So those are your official first job. What was like your wait, how much did you make? That's the question. That's the question I want to ask. How much did you make at your first job?
Good question. $4.25 an hour.
$4.25, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was there at that place. So that one was just a summer program. I actually
they fed you in.
they took all those pops you thought you were stealing out of your pantry.
They gave us the frozen lunches that they couldn't get rid of during the school season.
Wow.
They fed us those.
Yeah, they just fed you in sodas, dude.
I don't know what we got paid there, but my official first job that I count as my first job actually is Arby's over off of Baseline.
Oh, snap. Okay. Arby's
how old were you for that?
I was 16. Yeah.
16, okay.
16, yep.
Arby's.
I worked there first, and then Justin worked there with me. Okay. I remember my manager's name. Her name was Marie, and I forget the guy's name. I think it was Maurice. He used to always ask us if we have worms. He was like, do you guys have worms? Good grief.
What?
Because we ate so much. He's like, do you have a tapeworm? What do you have in you? How are you guys able to put this stuff away? We were some skinny, stringy 16-year-olds, man, and we...
There is no bottom. I mean, is this guy... Was he an alien? Like, how does he not know this?
Yeah.
I didn't understand his questions.
He had a teenage metabolism, huh? He's like, jerks.
That'd be kind of cool, though, to work with a sibling. Especially, like, your twin. I imagine it would have been, like, fun and hijinks.
It was fun. And it was 5.25 an hour, I think. Five something.
I think that's what I made first, dude. Mark, you were getting scammed, bro.
Yeah, man.
Scammed, man.
But you know what? It quickly jumped to $4.75. I was just minimum wage. I was just a law. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. Well, that's cool. So my first job, it was actually I worked at a hospital in the kitchen, Douglas County Hospital. I walked there. I think it was like 15. And that was like the first time I went through the whole hiring process, you know, because like, you know, you'd never been through like an interview, a real interview.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, doing that. And then, of course, you know, and I'm going to call my mom a boomer because she is. But like,
boomer.
You know, boomer advice on getting a job back in the day no longer applies today. It was like, okay, you had the interview. Now make sure you call and thank them for their time and all that other stuff. That today, if you did that, they'd be like, "Who's this weirdo?" Click, you know.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
Here. Did you check for status online? But anyway, so
yeah. In fact, yeah. A lot of times they don't even want contact. Period. Nope. Like, yep. Don't come here. Don't knock. Don't give me your physical exactly. Resume.
Yeah, you show get up with out a physical here and resume. Go online. They're gonna yeah. Say, just go sit in the corner and fill that out. Don't give me that trash.
Yeah, seriously.
Dude, I remember this one time. Oh, what happened? It was when I worked at the airport, which was actually one of my favorite jobs. But this lady comes up with all kinds of attitude and hands us her resume. And like me and my coworkers looked at each other after she walked away. And that thing went straight into the garbage.
Wow.
You guys are dude, terrible.
Dude, no, dude. She was she terrible.
She went straight in. So she went to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Parked. Turned in your. Okay. Wow. Yep.
Parked at the airport and gave us some kind of attitude because she had to wait in line to give us the resume.
What were you doing at the airport?
I was a gate agent. Well, I was a ticketing agent. And then...
dude, you're a ticketing agent. You're not a manager. You don't make any decisions.
I made that decision, bro. I wasn't going to work with her.
You filed yeah, that dude, away seriously. Swiftly.
Dude, nah, yeah.
Trash can.
Like, yep. Yeah, we got you, Karen. No, I'm playing. Karen's
back hey,
then.
Karen.
But anyway, so yeah, the hospital, that was my first job. So, this place was, let's get into like some crazy stories, but I'll tell you, this place was attached. It was a weird setup, right? So it was like not an old folks home, but like basically elderly senile patients. And it had a juvie center and it had like a psych ward next to it.
Wow.
So dude,
trifecta.
You guys wonder what's wrong with me. Anyway, so we were like coming back from lunch one day, me and this one guy named Dan, and we hear the security guard chasing after this woman. And this, you know, I'm thinking of it like, I don't know, you guys remember when I was like 15, I was, you know, short, kind of scrawny. A larger than life woman comes barreling around the corner, like running for her life. And we just kind of sidled up next to the wall and just stood to the side, man. And it was the weirdest thing. I'd never seen anybody chased down like that. Mm-hmm. Saw all kinds of weird stuff. We used to, sorry about the notifications here. I remember serving, you know, basically worked in the kitchen where we would serve lunch and, you know, breakfast and dinner. It was the first time I'd ever seen pureed meat. Like you would just scoop that onto a tray. It was the most unappetizing thing. Like you, yeah. If you haven't seen pureed ham onto a plate, yeah,
that sound effect helped.
That's the only appropriate sound. Yeah, that's the only appropriate sound.
Ew.
But anyway, it was a learning experience. I think it's great that I had a job that required work and I got to have a little fun, you know, I quickly learned to be a little bit responsible with it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, all right, crazy stories. Mark, Bradley, go. Whoever's got one first. Just on the first job, we'll get into some of your other jobs.
Can't say I have any crazy stories.
Working at Arby's.
Yeah, it was just run of the mill, man.
Nobody was driving through and say, "Give me some of my Arby's sauce."
No.
Like yelling.
I need the horsey sauce.
There was.
Yeah, that's what it is, a horsey sauce.
I wasn't there. Actually, I did work with this kid who, from my vantage point, was an older man. But looking back, he was just in high school. And he was in the newspaper because he had blown his nose into a sandwich and put it in, wrapped it up and gave it to a police officer. I'm not sure if you heard about that, Mark. It was just a little bit of a hullabaloo about that in South Phoenix. But
I think I remember that.
Disgusting.
And I remember coming in and they were like, yeah, I remember that kid. Yeah, we fired him. That was him. And I was just like, ugh. And I just proceeded to eat some some delicious.
some questionable meats.
Mm-hmm. Delicious meats, man. Yeah, we got, dude.
Dude, their Jamocha shake and their curly fries, dude.
Money. Let me tell you, Jamocha milkshakes have graced my esophagus more than it has needed to when I worked there. I don't go to Arby's anymore. It's delicious, but it's super expensive. But yeah, me and Justin would take any opportunity we could to somehow bend the managers or whoever was on staff to give us whatever they could for free. And so we got tons of Jamocha shakes. I remember those little hash brown triangle things they used to have. I don't know if you guys remember those. And basically, yeah, nothing too exciting at Arby's except for we just got to eat like crazy, man. That's it.
Man, I remember Terrence's first job. He worked at Burger King and he would like, or what was it? I can't remember, but he would come home with his own concoctions at the end of the day. Like, dude, all kinds of like just mixed up burgers, like his own, like, you know, whatever he was like being creative with. So that was pretty nice, man.
That's funny.
We love it when he comes home with some goodies.
He was doing the chicken nugget burger.
Yeah, exactly. Before it came quote unquote viral. Yeah, dude, get out of here with that.
Dude, okay, can we talk about that for a second? I've heard I was kind of like, oh, that's kind of a good idea, McDonald's. You know, like, oh, you heard this is how people are rolling. Dude, so if you go up and you order, I don't know, like, let's call it the land, air, and sea burger or whatever, they literally give you three different burgers. It's not they put it together all weird for you. They just give you those three items. And people were like, yeah, dude, come on, man. You're marketing that? It's stupid.
That's really something going on right now.
No, absolutely. Right now, yeah, McDonald's is doing this whole thing. Hold on, what's it called? McDonald's. They're calling it food hacks. And
Yeah, exactly.
And let's see here. Yeah, they're hacks menu. And so you order, so for example, you order the land, air, and sea, which is, let's see here. They just give you a McChicken, a Filet-O-Fish, and a Big Mac, and you have to put it all together the way you want.
That's disgusting. It just sounds nasty.
Yeah, well, disgusting, number one. But also, dude, you got to put it together.
Put it together.
Yeah.
Put it together.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's just lazy. I mean, that's just lazy.
So,
this
is interesting because we're talking about what we learned. You said, Ken, at the job, at the psych ward, the trifecta, that you learned how to work hard and all that good stuff. And what I've learned working in so many fast food joints that I've worked in, so you're putting it in the chat, is that my mom was right all this time. Most adults are, I'm going to digress even further. Sorry. Fast food in general just doesn't look good to begin with. So anyway, going back to what I was saying is, like I said earlier today in the chat about, you know, different places. I'll say it. I don't care. We're not going to get a sponsorship from Taco Bell. I called it dog chow. A sister in my congregation said that that's what her mom calls different things, you know, dog chow. And I look at the way my mom looked at this stuff when we were younger, and the way I looked at it was like, oh, wow. It's mass to be inserted squarely into my stomach so that hunger can be staved off. But then when you get older and your metabolism slows down, you're like, ugh, what was I eating this whole time? So,
right.
Yeah. McDonald's just, ugh. Their following is massive, though. They're too big to fail. They're never.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Who would? Yeah, billion served.
Who would eat this? Ugh.
I don't know. You know what? And I don't even know how successful this is, but I think they're just trying to tap into that viral market. Like, they want people TikTok to post on, like, TikTok and like, oh, hey, I'm eating this this yucky burger. Right.
I want to know who said, let me see this Big Mac and toss a Filet-O-Fish on top. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing. Gotta be honest.
I'm still laughing at what Mark said. Hey, guys, I'm eating this yucky burger. Because, dude, it does look yucky, man. Like, 100%.
Yeah.
Not appealing.
And I just got why they call it Landersea. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you got the chicken, the fish, and the cow.
The old cow.
That's terrible. Anyway.
Oddly enough, they all came from the exact same animal. what did you guys buy with your first paychecks?
Oy.
I feel like your first official paycheck, you know, whatever that all might
right.
be.
All right, well, I can name it for sure. Okay. I actually saved a couple of paychecks up, so I got some, like, actual designer shoes, yeah, for the first time, so.
Yeah.
No, actually, and I take that back. I had some nice shoes before, but, you know, I got to pick exactly what I wanted, which was some Penny Hardaway sneakers, so I was pretty hyped up about that, and, like, some shirts, and I basically just went to Foot Locker and kind of went ham for just like
gave your whole check directly
like
to
$200, you know. So I was like, oh man. So yeah, for the first few paychecks, it was mostly like clothes and stuff for me.
Okay, nice. What about you, Bradley?
I don't know. First off, just as a disclaimer, dude, I've had like 30 jobs. Okay, so I a lot of this stuff just blurs by, but I do remember buying a Sony Walkman with skip protection. It was black. And
the CD.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. The CD player, the Discman.
The Discman, excuse me. Yes, the Sony Discman.
Yes.
And I remembered my mom giving me a nice hearty lecture on the amount of money I spent on that versus the needs of the household at that time. And
And at the time, you had to have spent a pretty penny on that, dude.
It was at least, I'm probably going to exaggerate and say it was $100, but if it was $100 back in the 90s.
It had to have been. Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Especially if you had greater than 2 second skip protection.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah. And it was a Sony, not a Sanyo. Dude, you definitely broke 100 on that.
Sanyo.
Yeah, I think that's why my mom was so irritated. Sure. I just squandered it. So yeah, that's
a Tony.
Say it again.
I just said a Tony, CD player.
Tony, CD, yeah. Not even Sony.
A Tiger.
No, you want Tony.
A Tiger CD player.
Oh, man. Tiger. Tiger Electronics.
Tiger Electronics.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that's mine. What's yours, Ken?
Okay. It was clothes as well. Clothing as well. And you wouldn't know it to look at me now because I don't care about clothing now. But, you know, I think that's the one thing as a kid who grew up with a mom who was trying to be reasonable with funds. You didn't get the newest, you know, you weren't always getting like new clothes and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So as soon as I had my own money, you know, we went shopping. I'm 100% sure I ended up at a Foot Locker at some point, with my full N1 outfit, you know, with the see-through white pants.
Oh boy.
That mom made me take back. but that may not have been my first check, but I think I remember it was an outfit that I got. It was like, you know, I had the boots.
I was
going to
say you got some Timberlands.
They weren't Tim's. Yeah, I didn't go that crazy, but I definitely got, you know, it was like some boots. It was, you know, jeans and like matching. You know, it's just like this whole outfit. And I think I realized shortly after that, I'm like, wait, you got to keep buying this stuff? Like, I think I lost interest in that.
Now they're expecting more of you. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, I thought I just kind of would show up in one hot outfit and I would be, you know, one of the cool kids.
I'm just cool on Fridays.
Yep. Exactly. Oh man.
That's funny.
But yeah, so I'm pretty sure it was clothing. I don't, you know, I don't remember any major purchases after that. But yeah, that's funny, man. You sparked something with that Walkman though, Brad. Because
yeah,
just remember when we were all impressed when it had more than, you know, 5 second. Mm-hmm. We got to the 15 second
skip protection.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, dude, come on, it was just funny how we were walking around with like a spinning disc on our hips.
On our
hips. Like, you know, and it's like, dude, now, you know, it just amazes me.
Yeah.
Technology.
Like, totally less convenient than an like an actual Walkman with the tape. Like you can put that on your hip and go running around. Just man, you ain't doing any kind of physical activity except for
walking around. Gingerly walking around your house, even with the skid protection. And then you had to get the you had to get the cleaning kit. You know, because you know your CDs get a smudge. You got to professionally clean it and all that garbage. Mm-hmm.
Dude, you had the kit, and then so you had to invest money in that. And then you got the headphones. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I had the headphones, and looking back at the headphones back then, man, Radio Shack quality. You know, just little.
Oh, so bad.
Skeletons, you know, with little puffs on the end. They're terrible.
Letting all the outside sounds in. Just
when you compare all the limitations you guys just mentioned with what we have today, I mean, I listen to Spotify on my iPhone with my Sony. And I guess I'm still keeping it in the family. I've got Sony here. My Bluetooth earbuds. Man, the quality is just so fantastic. And I do go running with those every day. But yeah, going back to that time period, man, it's just, it does blow my mind the money that we spent on what was important to us then. So I guess it's not that big of a deal.
Sure.
But if I could do it all over again, yeah, let me see. We didn't make enough money to really actually have to think about it, right? It wasn't like we were pulling in that much dough.
Oh, no, exactly. No, I mean, this was spending money for us, right?
Yeah.
For a kid, you know, it just gave you a little bit of freedom to where mom said no, well, I'll buy it myself, you know? To an extent, because, you know, at the same time, I wasn't able to go buy my own car.
Yeah, neither.
Like that, so, I mean, you know, by the time, man, yeah, I don't even remember how much my first check was, but it was pennies. You know, I'm pretty sure I spend that like on DoorDash. You know, these days.
Oh, just, yeah.
You know, looking at inflation and everything, but that's funny. What else was I going to talk about with jobs?
So, how many jobs have you guys had? That's what I'm curious about. Like, what can you name them off?
I think I can count them all on one hand.
I think I can. Go ahead.
Okay.
Kenny.
Douglas County. Dial America. What's up? What's up, all my Dial America peeps out there?
Dial America with that America online. That
America Online?
Dial America did service there. Different. Once.
Just as bad. Just as annoying. Just as much of a cancer on the face of America. Dial America, it was basically calling and trying to get people to renew their magazine subscription for magazines that they weren't reading.
I knew what I remember people working for Dial America. I couldn't remember what it was. Right on. I remember that.
Oh my God. The one call here.
Centers, outbound call centers, it's the worst experience ever. Just that hard selling, taking advantage of elderly. That's all that is.
And definitely taking advantage of them with what they were doing in Tempe. Because the one that you may be referring to, Mark, off of Mill and Baseline. That one actually did do American Online. America Online.
Oh, it did. Okay.
Yeah, because I remember selling those dumb phone books, those dumb internet phone books. Like, hey, we're going to get you this book filled with all the addresses of all the websites on the known worldwide web.
Are you kidding me?
Okay, so you're going to need this. It's going to be helpful for you.
Oh, wow.
And when it gets updated, we'll get you the new updated book for just $19.99. Okay there, Spanky? It's just like, what? Goodness. Yeah, looking back, you're like, are you kidding me?
That's amazing that was a business. Wow. Or that was a product.
It was a product.
I'm sure you sold it, right? Because, you know, you got to know about this whole new internet, this new internet. Yeah, thing.
I mean, didn't we know about AltaVista and Ask Jeeves and Google at that point? It was already out, right?
Did your now, mom
Google
know?
Wasn't no, a
Google
thing.
Wasn't out yet.
Google wasn't out yet. AltaVista.
No, what was it? Web crawler? Probably like
Netscape Navigator.
Yeah. Yeah.
So could it resolve your searches at that point, though? Could Netscape do that? Or did you literally have to type in the address? www.
That's a good question.
I think there were search DNS engines server. For sure.
Web crawler was a search engine that I remember using. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, but if you think about like your average person at the time who wasn't a kid who just got time to spend on a computer at school, I could see them thinking, oh, well, I have a phone book for telephone.
Yeah,
I surely would need this for, you know, and
you're like, you Pepsi, probably Pepsi, could actually Pepsi, make Pepsi. Pepsi.
Pepsi.com.
Hey, dude, you actually are making a great point, because think about how many brothers and sisters in your congregation right now are still on the edge of still believing that AOL is necessary. There's so many in my congregation. I mean, they don't need to be named. Like, you for know sure. You don't need an AOL account to be on the internet, right?
Ah, oh, brother. You clearly don't know what you're talking about.
And they pay a subscription, perhaps. I don't know. But I know at that point in time, did pay just to be on AOL, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. And then when you were ready to hit the big leagues, you got net zero.
So still. You
know. Oh, that was like zero cost internet, wasn't it?
No, it was. I think you paid a little bit for it, but it was faster, supposedly.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't. I don't know.
So you did Dial America. What else did you do?
Okay, yeah. So Douglas County, Dial America. And then, hold on. Douglas County, Dial America. And then I worked for America West Airlines.
Dude, I remember that.
Who eventually became U.S. Air, I think, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, but dude, oh yeah, remember that, man? I flew out there.
American, yeah.
I flew out to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Flexed my free flight. Man, I wish I had taken more advantage of that, dude.
Nice.
So did that, and then Mutual of Omaha.
What'd you do there?
So I started off as a claims rep, a claims analyst. So, you know, just processing claims. And then eventually I went into customer service on the Medicare side. And then I was still there. My department was bought by like a Medicare processor. So I kept my same job, but eventually was considered working for WPS, but I had several positions, you know, it's kind of working my way up there. And then I went on to work for HKS, which was Otter, which was the software company I worked for. And then my current job now.
Right on.
Cool, man. Yeah. When you say Mutual of Omaha, you know what pops into my head every single time?
The zoo.
Wild Kingdom. The
Wild Kingdom. I forget his name.
I don't know, but he would always say Mutual of Omaha, like brought to you by Mutual of Omaha.
Yeah.
The show was called Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, right?
Wild Kingdom, yeah. Right.
Weird.
Jim Fowler.
Jim Fowler.
Jim Fowler was probably the one that you recognize.
I'm just making up his voice. I don't think he talks like this. Cool, man. But, so you only
he
had...
He was one of those guys that would take, you know... Wild donkeys onto like Jay Leno or something like that.
Oh, one of those guys with the super short shorts. Gotcha.
Oh yeah, you gotta. that's how the animals know you're serious.
Muldoon learned everything you know from him.
From him, yeah.
Muldoon.
Shoot her.
So what was that? Six jobs? Seven jobs?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep.
And then Breda Chambers. What's up with your...
All right. So I'm pretty sure I can name them. Safeway. Then I worked for something called Ontario Air Service. They worked... they're actually at the airport. So basically, I was a ramp agent. So for different shipping companies like UPS or USPS, they would land the plane and they would need... slave labor.
I was wondering why you were laughing.
Unload the plane. Dude, no, it was really funny. Actually, it was actually a really cool job, except for it was super hot because it's like just miles and miles of asphalt, like as far as you can see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, basically, the plane would land, you would unload the planes, load up planes with like packages and stuff like that. So I actually did that for about maybe 6 months or so. So that was a job. Then I worked at when I was going to ASU, I did like some work study jobs. So just some stuff around the campus. And then I worked.
Work study, like you were like a test, like a lab rat?
No. Like work study is like you basically do jobs at the university. And okay. You get paid a certain amount of money.
Oh, Nice.
And it counts toward like your federal aid or something like that. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but gotcha. It was like 10 hours a week. So like not a whole lot, just a little bit of money here and there.
Got it.
And then I worked for Bank One, which became Chase.
Okay.
And I did collections there, believe it or not.
Ooh, and, really? I do not see you as a collections agent.
No. You know, it was actually, it wasn't like really hardcore. I mean, it was mostly people that forgot their bills. It was like early, okay. Like you right like after from like 0 to 30 days.
Okay.
So it was mostly people that stuff was lost in the mail or they just forgot, stuff like that. So you're calling them. It's a pretty whack job, though, but I was there. Then I worked at University of Phoenix. And then I worked for Cigna, which is where I kind of did some more professional stuff. So Cigna was, I became like an account executive, quote unquote. So that was like when I started to get more into business. So I really liked that. Okay. Then I worked for Summit and then FedEx. Summit was bought out Cigna, kind of like your job with Mutual of Omaha. So yeah. Outside company bought your department. Same exact thing. Okay. Summit was based in Detroit, and they're pretty whack, I would say.
Are they still around?
They are. Not really. They were purchased by another company, so okay. I can bag on Summit specifically. then I worked for FedEx, and then I did timeshare here. Man, I got a lot of jobs too, man. then I did timeshare here for two different companies here in Maui, Marriott and Diamond Resorts. And most recently, now I'm at Enterprise. So I don't know how many that is, maybe like 10, 15.
How are you liking Enterprise?
Enterprise is cool.
Nice.
It's a really good company.
Cool.
Nice. What do you do for Enterprise?
So basically a little bit of everything. So I help people at the front desk, and then also we do like some back end work. It's our building is a building designed for people that are going into management. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool. So they kind of teach you stuff about the business on the back end, mm-hmm. so that as you progress, so it's like a year long program, and then hopefully you can graduate and go into different options here in Maui or it really anywhere. You can move on to different locations.
Oh, nice, cool. Man. Glad you got that, man.
yeah, me too.
So mine, you guys already know how, I don't know what the right word is for me and Justin. We didn't have, we didn't have a lion of a father putting his paw on our neck, probably like you guys did to go to work. So we just quit left and right. I know I did, but so I'll try to go through mine as quickly as possible. So yeah, Arby's and then Smitty's and then,
Smitty's.
Yeah. Yes. Grocery store.
Dude, tell me you took advantage of that free pizza though.
Bro, I used to tear that pizza up when I worked at Smitty's, man.
No. Yes.
Those root beer floats and everything, man. As a matter of fact, I don't know if there's going to be any repercussions for me saying this. Maybe we can edit it out if we need to, but, one of our somebody that me and Mark know in common, he's lives in Europe right now, David. He worked there at the same time. And I was wrangling carts. I come in and I'm like, hey, bro, what are you doing? He's like, bro, follow me. And we go into the back and in the freezer, just freezing. I'm like, dude, it's cold in here. He's like, bro, check this out. Look at these Nestle Crunch ice creams. He just pops one out of the bag or whatever, starts crunching on it, and then puts the box back. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? And then like 5 minutes later, wow. I'm crunching on some Nestle Crunch bars.
Going, going to town.
Dude, I remember going into the big industrial freezer just like after like doing carts in the summer, mm-hmm. and just sitting in there for like 5 minutes,
yes.
like, just getting like ice cold, man. It was so smart. Nice.
People are wondering why their groceries smell like sweaty, sweaty young man.
Mark, I'm like sitting down.
Yeah. I just smell like no good Nick in here.
And then
smell like Tommy.
Tommy, yeah.
Why does it smell like Tommy Hilfiger cologne up in
cool
here?
Cool water.
Oh my goodness. Cool water, yeah. Cool water back in the day. No, sure. And then after that, it was Taco Bell. And okay. Justin worked there, Dave worked there, Joel.
Oh, snap, man. That's funny.
Yeah, man.
I think I remember that, dude.
Man, we smelled like straight stank when we got home. Burritos and grease. And I'm trying to think, what else did we do over there? So after that, it was Dial America, Promark One, which is another telemarketing place. Okay. I mean, just a dime a dozen. And I think like half of South
Mountain. Those jobs are just like horrible, man.
Yeah, slave labor.
Man. And well, because they didn't. You know, you look back and you realize they knew most people weren't going to last, right? They just needed you
to make calls, man.
Temporarily.
Yep.
Just needed bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sad. I'm glad telemarketing just died. I mean, it's one of the worst industries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that me and Justin would always talk about, and this is no knock against people that have taken drugs in the past and whatnot, but man, there's just a lot of drug abusers at those jobs, man. And I would always be like, dude, I think I figured out how you could tell a crackhead, man. I just figured them out.
You worked at Dial America.
Yeah, they just have a...
You know what? Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Mark.
No, man. So something like that happened at one of my jobs, and it was like one of the managers, and I won't say the name because I actually don't even remember, but I think she got let go, and that was like a big scandal because I think she was like into like... You know, like harder type drugs, you know. Okay. And I was like, dude, she was like totally like functioning. But then I realized, hey, that's what cocaine does to you or meth, sure. You know, gets you all like hyped up. And so you're like, you know, all energetic and excited. So
let's go. She's always just amped.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Man,
yep. I thought it was a bubbly personality. Turns out it was drugs.
He's so bubbly. No. He's injected himself with something. It's actually, not to digress too much, there's a documentary on Netflix. I don't know the name, but it talks about Adderall and the proliferation of that. So basically...
Oh, yeah. Tons of kids.
Dude, kids, businesses, Wall Street, dude, it runs on Adderall. Yep. It runs on drugs. There's no way you could perform at those levels without
Some assistance. It's because it keeps you focused, right? Is that kind of how it
keeps you focused, keeps you organized, keeps you alert. I'm pretty sure.
So wait, what are the downsides? Why is it?
I know,
bad?
Dude. You're saying all the right things for it at this point, man.
I
get a prescription? This episode brought to you by.
I literally talked to Tracy about that. I was like, hold up. They have this first guy in the NFL. He comes home from a game, and his wife was blown away that he starts folding clothes and putting everything away. And I said, honey, I don't see what the downside is. I mean, I can get this legally.
I know, dude.
Yeah.
So anyway. Dial America, and then a slew of other jobs. Ace Hardware, right there on Central. I had that.
Hardware. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay.
When I first moved out, it was me, Justin, and Radio living together. 18 years old.
I didn't realize the three of you.
I didn't know
together.
That.
Mm-hmm. We lived over at the apartments right there on Baseline and Mill, right across the street from Dial America, which I started working at again. so I was just like there.
Welcome back, Bradley. Hey, bro. Your free Papa John's pizza.
You know where I used to always go?
On Saturdays.
they have ones sitting there.
Did they not do that for you guys?
I'm sure they did, man. They did all kinds of
nonsense. On Saturday, it was like, hey, thanks for
sacrificing your sunny.
Your hard-earned time. Here's some free pizza that's been sitting out for 8 days.
Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to just roll through these faster, actually. So,
okay.
If I could even remember. I've had a lot of jobs, man. But let's just fast forward to... Ooh!
No, we got to go through all of them.
Dude, I wish I could remember.
We're not done. I do remember. I will say I do remember. I hadn't talked to you guys in a while. And I remember it was either... I can't remember which of you it was. I apologize. Somebody called me about prepaid legal.
Justin.
That was Justin? Okay. All right. Yeah. I remember him calling about prepaid.
Hey there, friend.
I'm like, dude, am I really in danger of being sued? Absolutely you are, Ken.
Hey, friend.
I was drawing up the paperwork right now.
Let me see. I can't remember every single one, but I'm trying to think. Yeah, we did prepaid legal. There was a slew of folks that did prepaid legal.
Did you make any money with that?
That's my question.
Negative.
That was my question.
Negative. You don't ever make any money with pyramid schemes, which that was. You don't make any money with those marketing.
Selling the product.
Yeah, no, it's hot garbage. And
it's like getting more people, I think, is where the money is.
Well, I was going to ask, is that what was going to come next? Is like, you know, Ken, the best way to protect yourself from legal trouble is to have your own prepaid legal outlet or something.
I don't
like that.
Know I mean,
like,
what Justin may have been trying to tell you, but he drank the Kool-Aid too, like so many other people. And really the honest thing is, or I should say the dishonest thing is that whoever roped him into it, they were getting paid.
They were getting,
but
yeah,
now
exactly.
He, myself, and whoever else was on our team, I remember, I'm not going to name drop, but Mark, you know a lot of them.
Yeah.
We were all on the somebody's team. So whoever that was, they got paid. But just as a public service announcement to younger people, don't be duped into that type of stuff, man. If it's too good to be true, yeah. It is. Just trust that.
Yeah.
Did
you guys have to buy your own like starter kit?
No. You okay. simply had to purchase the service on a monthly basis. So although looking back in hindsight, $19.99 a month, I don't know what it was, or maybe it was even more than that. Overall, it's not a really big hit in the grand scheme of things. But if you think about how much money prepaid legal makes or made
right.
from all the idiots out there.
What were you? So you were paying $20 or $19.99 a month for what?
For
the prepaid legal service?
Yeah, exactly. For the ability to call into a retainer, a repository of law firms that would assist you with this, that, and the other. And I'll tell you how bad my thinking was at this point. I remember going in to get a Cricket phone and somehow, mumbo jumbo, I thought they did me wrong. I remember talking to the guy over on Mill Avenue at ASU. He's probably a college kid himself working at Cricket. And I'm like, bro, you owe me this and you owe me that. And he's just looking at me with the most sarcastic, uninterested face. Like, bro, if you don't get out of my store and stuff. And I was like, you know what? I have prepaid legal. I'm going to have my lawyers call you. I think the bill was like not even $100. It wasn't even anything to fuss about. Like looking back. So my thinking was warped, but it gives us good vision into how we used to think back then. Well, we know that that's how kids are thinking today. So again,
it gives you experience, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you hadn't gone through that, I mean, cause there's how many people do you know that have been roped into various schemes and whatnot? I remember, you know, it was a couple of young pioneers, right? We're looking for a way to make money,
a way to be lazy and cheat the system. No, go ahead.
Yep. yeah. Okay. Absolutely. They're like, what? You mean I can work an hour a week and then take care of myself? I remember getting the call about Cutco knives. I don't know if you ever sat through a Cutco knife presentation.
Unfortunately for a vacation thing. Yes, I have, man. Stupid.
Oh, okay. At least I was probably a professional. I had to have been somebody's first demo, you know, but anyway, it was like,
little Patsy.
Let me show you how terrible your knives are, Ken. And I'm like, yeah, I don't care. I'm not spending $300 on knives. Thanks. You know, and I feel bad for him, but I'm like, yeah, this is going to happen. I'm like, and then you find out like they had to buy their own set of knives. So I'm like, well, that's a guaranteed $300 sale right there. You know, it's just like all that kind of, anyway, I mean, it's sad the number of people that take advantage of young people.
I think that's what
we wanted to come down to is, you know, and it's so weird. You see people talking out of both sides of their mouths, right? So you see people who are like, you know, some jobs aren't supposed to provide a living wage, right? Because that's the kind of the argument we see is like, so for example, you know, obviously developing Disney apps, I am dialed in. And so one of the arguments is that some of the cast members there don't make enough money. Like I think it's been pointed out, like at Disneyland, there are basically cast members who, you know, after smiling in your face all day, they go and sleep in their car because they can't afford to live, you know, I mean, who can't afford to live in California, but like they can't afford to live there. So, so people are like, well, get a different job. But if you work hard, if you spend all day at a job, you should be able to expect that job to provide a basic income, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you think about like, you just think about all the people that wanted free labor because you were young, or not free, cheap labor because you were young.
Yep.
You know, and then so just think about all the conditions, you know, and I'm sure, you know, we all had good experiences, but at the same time, you had experiences where you weren't valued as an individual. You were just, you know, you were just a body. You were just there on the phones, bringing it, you know, paying for somebody's yacht, you know, at the end of the day. And so, it just, man, if there's like a message I could, like, I've tried to make it so that Gavin doesn't have to get a job. He, you know, he gets allowance that he has to save up if he wants to make major purchases. But at, even then, I'm trying to make it so that he can, you know, he can kind of work from home a little bit when he gets some time. But
nice.
I just don't want him to be suckered in, because some people say, oh, that's a valuable experience. And, you know, and I know I just said that about the prepaid legal thing, mm-hmm. but I wouldn't say everybody needs to go experience that, because
not at all,
you know,
not at all,
you know, not at all. Exactly. It's just,
I don't think you need to experience any of those getting suckered moments in time. Nope. A parent can be a good, their wisdom is better than you experiencing those things. But having said that, yeah. I think I understand your sentiment. Going through those things does give you a different perspective. For instance, for me, all the jobs that I've had give me perspective on what people are going through. There's heads of families that are making less money than I am, that have bigger mm-hmm. families than I should say. I guess I'm the head of my family. But wow. There's only two of us. So really quick, I actually found a list. After ProMark 1, I worked at Globe Aviation. Me, Justin, Dave again. We were all three there. Justin and Dave quit after the second day. No, the first day. They dipped out.
What is Globe Aviation?
Globe Aviation was a wheelchair runner company at the airport. So we worked at Terminal 3 at Phoenix Sky Harbor.
Oh, snap. Okay.
You're a wheelchair. Yes, okay. Yes. Okay.
Yeah, so I was there for...
Nate did that too.
Heroes. You know, heroes, really.
Yeah, and we got broke off with the actual good tip once in a while thing. I got 50 and then 100 by these drunk dudes from Texas one time. So that was a good job. Right. Then
it reminded me of another job that I did. Okay.
After that, I worked at Fry's Electronics off of Baseline over there, $7 an hour. And then after Fry's Electronics, I was at Wendy's for a couple years, where I got my first car, the Honda Accord 1990, $7 an hour still. But I learned some valuable lessons through my Uncle Victor working there. His favorite saying was, hold your hand to the fire, you know, just keep working hard. I rode my aunt's bike to work every day to make that happen. So,
cause you were just like, this is not worth my time or something.
Bingo.
Or
so I learned how to just push through, kind of sweat through it, you know, and I got enough money to buy a car, cash. Then after that, I worked at Five and Diner, this one, diner type restaurant, for $3.13 an hour plus tips. That paid the bills for a little bit. And then after that, collections at Allied Interstate for $10 an hour. This is horrible. Then I did a deco. I worked at Chase, and right next to your campus, Mark, ASU, $10 an hour over there, doing some type of customer service nonsense. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I got an inbound customer service job at Wells Fargo with the boom. I don't know what year this was, for the interest rate went way low.
Probably 2006, maybe 2007. Like 2000.
Yeah.
Right before the crash.
That was $14.75 an hour, and I just took inbound calls doing apps all day long. I did get an actual call from somebody that you know, Mark. I wish I could say, but I don't want their privacy to be taken away. Yeah. Anyway, after that, I was an office clerk at, what was this? Accounting and Finance Professionals, $9 an hour. This is horrible, guys.
Where are you finding this list? Do you have this like on a resume?
Yep. I have this all listed out from, I just plugged in my external hard drive and I'm like, I know I could find this. I wrote this down one time. Here it goes. Then after that was Pride Staff, customer service. I don't know what I was doing. Countrywide Insurance. Countrywide Insurance, $12.75 an hour.
What'd you do for Countrywide?
What does it say here? All I remember is I did.
Hey, you bought the house, sir. Our responsibility stops there. We don't want it back.
I think that's all it was. Seriously,
still have to make the payments.
That was when Florida got blasted with all kinds of hurricanes, and all kinds of insurance companies just said, "Florida, you're dumb. If you want to live here,
they're like, what a garbage state.
If you want to live on." Never mind.
We just lost half of our listener base. No, I'm just joking.
Yep.
Okay, so then after that, I think we were married at that point. I started working at Khalil. Is that the drink place? Khalil?
Oh, yeah.
Man, dude, I was like, dude, I need a job, and I hate this one. Countrywide. So I was at Khalil, dipped out of there, went to the post office. That was 70 hours a week as a casual letter carrier. And I was like, I cannot sustain this.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You mean like counting like all your commute time or something? Or what do you mean?
I'm talking about actual working. So
you logged 70 hours
a week. 70 hours a week. Dude, my paychecks were fattier than fat. I had three of them laying on our dresser. Wow. I remember that when we were married. I'm like, dude, honey, let's go cash these things finally. I'm so tired. We went into Arizona Federal Credit Union, and we were pizzed. Anyway, then after that was Wells Fargo Technology Connection. That's where I spent the bulk of my time before we went out of the country. That was 6.5 years of pure torture. I got paid pretty good, but I think I, for Arizona and the time period up to 2012, I was getting paid $20 an hour at the end. That was okay pay. That, and then here I am with Fine Lines, my current job, coming back into the country. So there you go.
Because in Grenada, you couldn't work, right?
You couldn't work in Grenada. You could do other stuff. Like if you had a job that paid you for telecommuting, you're good to go, man. You could do whatever you want in Grenada. You just can't.
But you couldn't take a job from a Grenadian.
Exactly. Unless you have a specialty.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
Coconut, man. Man,
that's a lot of work, bro. That's quite the history.
But
you did remind me of something. For a time, I moonlighted. I guess moonlight, that's the term when it's your second job, right? As a wedding DJ for several years.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Dude. So, how'd you forget about that? Dude, come on. Dude. I know you have some stories on that one.
Oh, I've got so many stories. none of them I'll tell. Not playing. Dude, I actually got like DJ of the year. I mean, it was the Omaha branch of Complete Music. But, dude, whenever I'd go to like one of these wedding shows, because that was the thing is like, you know, they would always bring, so there'd be all these trade shows, right? So, Embassy Suites would bring in all these vendors because, you know, weddings are a $1 trillion mm-hmm. industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I went to one of those.
Yeah. Okay. And so, like, there'd be all these brides walking by. And so I'd be dressed up and I'm, you know, my sales pitch as to why they wanted to hire me as their DJ. And that was a big thing. I was like, yeah, I was DJ of the year last year. Oh my God. You know, just like, all that kind of stuff.
Did you drop it all casually like that? Oh yeah. Just absolutely. By the way, you know.
Absolutely. I'm like, yeah, you could sign up with this guy. This
you're like talking and you like push forward the magazine that you're on. Yeah. Oh, this, where did that come from?
Oh my goodness. Yes. I'll sign it for you if you want.
Is that me?
No, I remember like, dude, I got to the point, it was funny, it was great because I didn't, after a little while, I didn't necessarily need the job. Like, cause at first it was cause, I wanted to make sure that Hope was able to stay home with Gavin. So we needed some extra cash just cause bills are piling up. So I got it. Well, we got caught up and I got to the point where I didn't necessarily care. And so I would legit show up to these things, keep my sunglasses on and just insist that was me, you know, playing it cool. And then I'd let I felt bad because I would kind of clown a couple. Like there were DJs who do all the cornball cheesy stuff, and I was not that DJ, right? Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't gonna get there and put on a chicken hat to do the chicken dance. Pass.
Is that even a thing? That's a thing,
dude. I'm serious, dude, bro. There are guys who would brag about this stuff. There are guys who was like, oh yeah, I'll put on a chicken suit even and blah blah blah. And dude, some people love that cornball stuff, and dude, I'm like, you can have it. So I'd be like,
about that in the chat.
Sure were.
the goober, like, yeah. Just eating that up.
Oh my goodness, yeah, they love that garbage.
Like pigs in a trough.
Sure, man. And those were definitely a certain clientele, and I wasn't interested. And I was just like, they, you know, like, oh, do you do this? I'm like, you know what? You're looking for somebody who does kind of like the cheesy stuff. You definitely want to talk to that guy. And they'd get like insulted and then they'd walk away, or they'd get insulted and book with me because they realized that they didn't want the cornball DJ. It was all a big sale. And again, it's because I just stopped caring and I was just like, yeah, I'm going to show up and kind of do what I want.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I mean, it was fun because it let me showcase my personality a little bit. You know, I got to kind of, you know, for what it's worth, I basically partied Fridays and Saturdays. I'll say it, you know. And
I'll tell the truth.
I mean,
you're
like, I'm gonna
party as much as you can party.
Some bill money, Hope. Yes, like, and you're another, all like dragging, and then like you hit the car, donuts. You put on the glasses, turn up the music. You're like, yes,
exactly.
We'll spin
family. You know, I get like my '70s playlist going. No, but dude, I'll tell you, like the first couple months were tough though. Especially like on that Friday or Saturday night, you're on your feet in meeting shoes for like 6 hours, you know, and you're walking around, you're carrying heavy equipment. Dude, I'd wake up in the middle of the night with the worst leg cramps. Like, it just,
oh my goodness, oh dude, my, those are horrible.
The exact, and you know, because like phantom, you can't move.
You're just like,
oh man, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So that was, but it was actually, it was a fun job. But there, like, there were people who like, that was their livelihood, and there were people who took it seriously, and there was me who was just like, ah, just give me the paycheck, you know. Yeah, but I had it, I had fun doing it, so it was fun for my peeps. So, you know, I did mess up one time. I will say there was one time I messed up, right? So I met this bride and groom, dude. They spent thousands of dollars. Like, they spent $10,000 on flowers alone, 10 to 15 on flowers alone.
Wow.
They booked out this old hotel, beautiful wedding. I had met with them ahead of time. They requested me because I was amazing at their friend's wedding, blah, blah, blah. So we had already talked about the flow. And last minute, 30 seconds to go, this dude's like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and do a dance with my mom. I'm sorry, what?
Mm.
Yeah, I know he said I said that I hated, I didn't want to do it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. Okay, what song? I don't know. Just pick one.
No, nope, so nope. I picked one. Doesn't work like that. Oh, you did. You did pick one.
I picked one, and it was. Hold on.
Song for Mama.
No, it was just as bad though, because I had to fade out when the guy basically said "Sweet 16." How did it was a daddy daughter dance basically.
So, oh boy,
I felt so bad because I think it even showed up on my review. They were like, "How dare you." What was the song?
Wait. Hold up. You can't ask. You can't say do something and then I say which one and then you say pick one and then yep. Give me the repercussions. No, lesson learned.
But unfortunately, hopefully for him, that was the only time he'd ever have to do that. But yeah, what was the name of that song? It was like Sweet 16, something or other.
Chuck Berry.
Songs for Daughter. Let's see.
Okay. What time period was it?
Remember Me This Way? Well, so you never played like new stuff.
Is that like an unspoken rule of the DJ community? You can't play modern music for...
No. I mean like for the classic parent dances, it was almost never anything new. So this would have been something that came out like forever ago.
Oh, so we have to hear Etta James again for the 85th time.
Oh my goodness, dude. That was every third... Bride and Groom's dance song. Etta James. It's a good song, though. It's classic.
No, it is. It's a great song. It's
better than some of the other stuff, man. We're just going to do the chicken dance for... maybe it was Angel in My Arms or something, dude. But I just remember, like, I got looks and I was like, I faded out. I was like, whoop.
Well, that's...
Sorry.
I
had a bunch of stuff queued up, man, and then they hit me with that, and what are you going to do? I picked what I thought was, because guess what? I didn't have a daughter, so I definitely hadn't had in mind. But, I mean, obviously they expect the DJ to know. But I was trying to pick something that wasn't like, you know, I couldn't pick, you know, I couldn't pick the Boyz II Men song. This is a white guy. You know, it's, I don't know. Just,
wait, hold up. You would have been perfectly fine if you did the.
I would have.
It was a Brassica crowd, you know. Yeah. Like, hey, stop this gangster rap.
They didn't have enough rhythm. They didn't have enough rhythm. Mark. No, it's
fine. You get this gangster rap off of our airwaves, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Are we gonna get shot? But no.
So
like that's my one. I think that was the one.
Your one bad review.
I messed up. Yeah.
Oh, shucks.
Okay, so break it down for me and the listeners. How did you get into DJing? How professional were you? Did you rent your stuff? And you had leg cramps because you must have been wheeling in goo-gobs of heavy speakers.
Oh, dude, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and so you were always, like, you always had to park. You were never, like, there was, like, loading docks and stuff like that. But basically, I'd have to show up, like, 2 hours before the event. I was only paid for the 5 hours of the event, by the way. So I'd show up so I started with Complete Music, worked for them. And so they provided you with equipment. I quickly realized that they provided you with garbage because it was all CDs, right? So you had like a CD player. And I was like, I don't like this. I ended up investing in getting my own Newmark. It was called the Newmark HD Mix, right? So back in 2010, it was like this big, it was a dual mixer that had a hard drive in it. So I had all my songs and everything loaded onto this thing. It was great. Ooh, it was like $1,000, but dude, it paid for itself, man.
Agreed. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Otherwise, I had this giant case. Did you pay for all the music? Well, so that they were nice enough to load up their song library onto this thing.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, because like they would have these CDs that they would rent from, or, you know, they buy through these services that are considered licensed songs. So they're able to play these songs in a public event, basically. And so they were nice enough to upload those onto this, my hard drive for me, because I was working for them. And I was willing to buy this myself. I think they actually ended up buying a couple after seeing how easy it was for me.
Nice.
But anyway, so I'd show up like 2 hours ahead. I'd have to take the polls for my what do you call it?
For your request.
For my speakers. Oh. And then I had like these big speakers, so you'd have to bring in two of those. And then I had a case full of
these are yours. You cords. Own them. You're not renting them.
No. I picked these up from Complete Music.
Okay, so you rent. So you rent at every event.
No, well, they provide it. I didn't have to rent it.
When I worked for Complete Music. I'm not trying to become a DJ, but I mean...
Complete Music is the company. So Complete Music was...
Oh, we were taking notes.
This is the B-man.
Yeah. Complete Music was the company that basically sold my services.
DJ
company.
I worked for them as a wedding DJ.
Okay. I thought you were just like scrounging up with all your oomph and vigor and putting yourself out there. No. Okay.
I could have because you. I met some people and I actually ended up doing a few of my own shows that paid infinitely more. So when I started working for Complete Music, I got paid $75 a show.
What?
And then I'd get tipped.
Wow.
$75 a show, though, is a slap in the face, though, man.
It is, but you get a $100 tip, you know, so I'm getting $175 a show. That was just the start, right? And they quickly realized, like, okay, this guy's good. So, like, they bumped me up. But when I booked my own shows, $750.
Okay, cool. That's
like,
so makes
Complete
more sense.
Music was getting paid $750 and paying me, like, just tuppence.
Yeah.
Like, they threw out, like, a muffin.
Give me some bum gloves.
Pick it up, boy.
Some Dick Van Dyke. Mary Poppins gloves.
Yep, exactly, dude. And then, you know, so, you know, but there are a lot of people that's all they're capable. Anyway, so yeah, I would go pick up my equipment from a locker and then I'd set it up. And dude, I don't know if you guys...
Were you driving a van?
I was driving my MX-6, bro.
Mazda MX-6?
My Mazda, dude. That thing was loaded up, dude.
Filled with speakers and poles and your
filled
amps.
Filled up,
and,
man. Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, that car was weighed down. yeah, so I would do that. And then
out.
I would go set up. And then I'd drink a five-hour energy, and I'd just rock out for 5 or 6 hours. Oh, and if they did overtime, that was like an extra $100.
Nice.
Yes.
And I always went for the overtime. And then it'd be like another hour and a half taken down, and then I'd have to drive it back to the place to drop it off. Unless I was doing two shows that weekend, then I would keep it. But dude, it was a lot of manual labor, and basically I was just paying for some dude's yacht. It's kind of how it went. Mm-hmm. But a guy that I worked with, he kind of started his own company. And he's like, dude, you should be getting paid so much more. So I went and worked for him for a little bit. This was like right before I quit DJing altogether and moved to Maui. But yeah, dude.
So you were DJing all the way up to Maui. Wow.
Just
man,
about.
I know.
Yeah. Yep.
Dude, you know what you needed to do is like create a fake apprenticeship program.
And just teach some
kids. These like young bucks.
Oh my goodness, dude!
Like carrying all your stuff.
Oh, that would have been smart. You know, every once in a while, I'd bring a friend with me. You know, and they'd help
like,
me set up, and we would just basically hang out.
So the friend that you would bring with you, their pay was that it just got to have a good time and sip.
Pretty much got to hang out. Yep, and it was. I would only bring them if it was like a free bar. You know, it was like
that was their pay. Yeah,
yeah, pretty much. Which obviously, of course, with Complete Music, you're not supposed to drink on the job, but I'm like, do you want it to be a good show?
Exactly. Exactly. So real quick, if I could jump in with some of the pricing on what you're talking about, $75 to $750, I'll tell you, Justin Rouse, it does photography for different weddings. I did a wedding with him, for James and Janai. I don't know if her name is Janai or Janae. I can't remember. Anyway, she's from Australia. He's, there in Levine congregation, or they're in Justin's congregation actually right now, the Japanese group. Anyway, Justin Rouse and I did their wedding, and I remembered so as a photographer, you shoot in RAW, so that RAW basically is a file that you can process, and it keeps all the dynamic range of the photo, so it won't get all blown out or too dark. in post-process. I'm trying to make that as simple as possible. Anyway, that's a raw file, okay? Versus a JPEG. A JPEG is completely cooked. It's done. You could edit it, but it doesn't have as much dynamic range as a raw file. So anyway, I get there and I'm like, dude, all right, great. Let's do this, Justin. I'm shooting. Hey, man, you shooting in raw? He's like, no, just go ahead and change it over to JPEG. I'm like, okay. So we change it over to JPEG. We shoot the wedding, but I'm confused. And here's the point of the story. Once he tells me how much we're getting paid, I'm like, no wonder you want to shoot in JPEG. Because if you get paid, I would say a wedding for today, like you said, $750 for a DJ. How much would you say DJing a wedding today you would charge right now, Ken?
If I was going to do a standard wedding, I'd charge $1,500 out the box. And that would be... Hundy. But dude, you got to realize what you're getting with that. You're getting
no. I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, but yeah. Okay.
So that's my point. Okay, so you would charge $1,500 today. See, to me, I feel like I'd be giving you a good deal if I did the photography for your wedding for $1,000. I feel like you'd be getting a great deal for $1,000 because it's more than that now.
You know why?
Say it again.
Well, and you know why that is though. It's because. As the professional photographer, you're competing with all the aunts and uncles with their iPhone, unfortunately.
Yep, but here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand about iPhones is that they don't have the focal lengths and whatnot that a photographer has. Nope. They don't have the strobage. iPhones don't have strobes. Anyway, that's a whole nother... Somebody's already written a blog on that, but it just made me laugh. Justin was just so cool, calm, and collected. That's Mark's brother-in-law. And he just gave me that.
So you were prepared to do all kinds of work and massaging after this.
Dude, I was going to, because it was one of my first weddings. And I was just like, dude, we're going to make this look spectacular. So anyway, I really hurt their photos, in my opinion, because we shot in JPEG and I really wanted to make them look better than they actually do. Because that's really the point of wedding photography is you are really trying to give them something that's not realistic. That's what people are paying for. They're paying to look like movie stars. And I'm not by any means saying that we did a good job on that wedding, but we got paid $400 total. So you could see where Justin was just like, man, we're going to shoot this.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we should be glad that you had the lens cap on for $400.
So that's the nerve that you hit when you said you were getting paid $75. I'm like, that's horrible.
And you understand why. Yeah. I had to quickly up that. I mean, and it got to the point where I was making some pretty good cash.
Right.
But the great thing was, it was like mentally, I could just turn my brain off, dude. I was in autopilot the entire time.
Yeah, not so with photography. You got to be
on
point, which is why my price right now, if I even did it, which I'm not, is way too low. But that's actually way, and this is another rant, that's too much for some people to pay, $1,000 for photography. And my response to that is, okay, well, just use your iPhone. Use your iPhone 13 Pro, and there you go, free. And have a good day.
Go ahead and post all those pics on Instagram, because that's what they're worthy of.
Pretty much, yeah. Anyway, I didn't mean to steal the thunder from your DJ.
No. It's nice to get people's perspective, right? I mean, just, dude, and you think about how much money. So then where does all the money for the wedding go, right? Because they don't want to pay the photographer much. They didn't want to pay the DJ much. It's the food venues, right? Dude, and it's always, not always, but 9 times out of 10, it's just regular food, right? Uh-huh. It wasn't spectacular. But dude, people spend so much money on that. Yeah, it's just, but anyway, yeah, weddings, man. Ugh.
Overpriced.
Yes.
I mean, the fact that you said $10,000 for the flowers alone, I mean, how many people would look at that and say, dude, I could go to front people's, the front yard of people right here in Southern California and just whack all their roses out and get you some flowers.
Yep.
Obviously, we're not ever going to do that, but.
But dude, yeah. Oh, man. Guys, this turned into a pretty good discussion. I'm sorry Justin wasn't here to add his perspective, but, you know, he's out doing a job, actually. So I guess appropriate. But let's see. Who wants to take us out?
Let me jump in on that.
Yeah, okay. I'm horrible at it.
Yep. So I want to thank you guys, number one, because we kind of met at a different time. I think this time kind of works, minus Justin not being here. So hopefully we can have Justin make it at these times. But to our listeners, thank you so much. You can reach us at Gen X Reverb on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We definitely like hearing what you guys are thinking about the episodes, and let us know if you want a different topic.
Yeah, and please tell us. We'd love to know what your first jobs were. So we'll probably post that on Facebook.
Oh, I'm sure we'll have
some good stories about what people's first jobs were, and we'll go from there.
And also, let us know why you think you shouldn't be paying $2,500 for your wedding photos. I'd like to know personally.
Dude, I've got horror stories of people that paid $1,500 or so and had to end up suing because they never got their photos. Like, just,
yeah, dude, man, that's bad.
I got a story.
Photographers out there, honestly.
What's up, Mark?
Like, I mean, it's your one job.
Yeah.
to keep those photos. Mark, hopefully it wasn't your wedding.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Yeah, no. So Quasi. So here's the thing. So I did pay not quite $1,000, but not like $75. Like, it was like